570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue on, Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet. 2 hours today on AM570 LA Sports. If you're just jumping on, between now and 2 o'clock, we're giving away the Westinghouse 50-inch 4K Roku TV. We want you to win. We'll give you a cue to call for that. And because we're only on, Rodney, for 2 hours today,
yes,
we still have to have our spirituality. And usually the Fridays are the big ones because they got to carry us all the way through the weekend. This is the day where we have to have that. Yeah. You know, that sense of community and family.
Yes.
Because it's got to carry us through Saturday and Sunday. And there's really only one man that can provide that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he is an icon, a legend, and beloved by all. So for the Daily Haiku at 2, which today will be at 1, we welcome on our good friend, Vic the Brick. And Vic, good afternoon. Does he know it's at 1 o'clock?
Oh, my God.
Fred, what happened to you?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Fred.
Why?
You were displaying such patience.
I didn't have a problem
on
all week.
On a Friday, where you just said that we need this for the... And you jump and you do that.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't do it all week, Vic. Vic, I didn't
do
it all
hurtful.
Week.
Fabulous intro and...
All of that.
Ryan Rodney... I don't get it. Listen,
did I do it this week at all? No. I let it
marinate. Doesn't matter. You did it now.
Because I was concerned it was taking so long. I didn't know if he knew it was at 1 o'clock today.
Oh, God. What are we doing?
All right, Vic, good afternoon. Good afternoon.
What are we doing?
I'm sorry.
You just ruined it.
I know.
You just ruined it.
No, I didn't ruin it.
Yeah, you did.
What, do you live in my house? Is this what that's what I hear all the time? You just ruined it.
Just ruined it.
I didn't ruin anything.
Start that over. You got to start that over.
You want to start again?
Just don't interrupt, Fred. How long we got to do this?
I know, but...
You a kid? You a child?
Rodney.
You a five-year-old?
Rodney, all week, I did not interrupt. But today... But
that's ruined by what you did today. Didn't matter what you did all week.
I don't get a second chance?
I didn't steal. I didn't steal all week, but you just robbed a liquor store.
All right, let's go again. Everything else I said before, Vic the Brick. With the Daily Haiku at 2, which today is at 1. And Vic, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Fred.
Good afternoon, Vic.
Good afternoon, Rodney.
BTP.
Good afternoon, K-Fig, Kevin Figures.
King Flavor.
In the house for you, the flavor that you crave, or the vibe that cannot be denied.
Mm-hmm.
On the ones and the twos and the threes and the fours, a Ronnie Fascio.
A much love to you, Vic. Sha.
Niwa mente. Well, it's Valentine's Day weekend. You guys have special plans?
No, not really.
Okay.
Mm-mm. We're in a pandemic, Vic.
Well, love is in the air, Fred.
Oh.
How about Dave Chappelle getting his show back?
Oh, wait, do you have special plans, Vic?
Yes.
Okay, see, we should have asked. And what are your plans?
I'm going to spend an incredible day with my beloved bride, Yuko Sakamoto.
Yeah?
Oh, nice.
Just an incredible day.
What are you going to do?
We're going to bang the gong.
I've heard that can be very fulfilling.
What?
Banging the gong. Hey, Vic, how many times do you think you're going to bang the gong?
Wow. Here comes Don Martin.
Why? He said he's going to bang his gong. How many times, Vic?
As long as it takes, Fred.
Okay.
There's a lot to celebrate. We have many years of celebration and many, many years to come. And for all lovers out there, have a great Valentine's Day. Love will push us forward.
The best is yet
No. No, you just ruined it. You just ruined it again, Fred. You're making this an awful Friday.
First of all, I ain't no bitch.
I don't know. You're becoming one on this Friday.
Again, just wanted to congratulate Dave Chappelle on getting his show back on Comedy Central after a couple of months off. And they're going to pay him millions and millions of dollars, yeah.
A couple of months off?
At least, right?
Yeah.
What power? What power? Because, you know, he's such a creative genius.
Why'd they take it off? I don't know. I'm being honest.
I'm not sure. Rodney, do you know when they took Dave's show off?
Off of Comedy Central, like years ago, you mean?
Yeah, whenever it was pulled.
Because he was like, didn't want to be, you know, as Prince wrote Slave on his cheek, he didn't want to be held burdened by Comedy Central. He had no creative authority to his own show. So he turned down all that. People say he was crazy turning down all the money. I think they offered him $50 million to continue the show, and he declined because he had no he didn't have the creative control that they told him he would have, and so he walked away from it, and they're making more money, and now they're begging him to come back.
Great move by Dave.
Yeah,
great move.
I felt like some of the sketches he did back in the day probably wouldn't go over too well if they were done originally now, so I'm interested to see exactly how he pivots and how the show goes today as opposed to how it did back then. There's some pretty edgy stuff, even for cable TV.
Well, I think that, but that is part of it, Kevin. I think that he is, the only reason he's coming back is to be able to do his edgy stuff and go, you know, and push the envelope.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't think he, you know, as one of the guys out there that's as real as it comes, Dave Chappelle is one of those guys, and I don't think he's going to sell out his creativity to come back to Comedy Central unless he had full control and can do whatever he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And we celebrate Dave. And this haiku, amazing projection by Basho, almost like he could predict Tom Brady getting drunk on tequila. Ooh. In the boat parade in Tampa.
That's big.
Like hundreds of years ago, he composed this haiku, and yet it's so relevant. It's so relevant to Tom Brady this week on the boat.
Yeah, he let his hair down. It's kind of good to see Brady let his hair down a little bit, right? Everybody thinks
buttoned
up Brady and always saying the right thing and always doing the right thing and all those type of things, and got off a little wobbly off that boat.
Love that. So this is Basho on this haiku for you at 1 on this Friday, February the 12th. Moon flowers in the garden. I poke my drunk face out of the window. I'm feeling you. A Basho.
You know, when you really follow the history and the career of Basho, I got to tell you something, Vic. I'm really getting the impression Basho was just a drunk.
Why do you say this is first time?
Your mouth,
this is
Fred.
The first haiku he's ever said that he got drunk.
No, hasn't he talked about the rice wine before?
He's mentioned the sake.
Yeah, right. Everything seems to have that little edge to it. I mean, Basho was a lush. Let's just call it the way it is and accept him for who he is. What are the great
masters? Calling him a lush. He wasn't a lush.
No way, Fred. You can
to let his hair down a little bit from time to time, but that's just going a little far to call him a lush, Fred.
Remember, Fred, he's 300-400 years ago in the wilderness of Japan.
Yeah.
And he's basically just traveling by foot, you know, throughout Japan, seeking inspiration and, you know, seeking enlightenment. So once in a while, he had some sake. I find it delightful.
Yeah, Fred.
I don't know. A lot of his observations, now the more I think about it, yeah, the ones that are a little off to me, I know why now. You know,
because
Basho was a brown paper bag guy, Rodney.
Wow. Dick.
Wow. That I'm is. I'm going to tell you what. I'm about to take my headphones off right now because I'm not going to sit here.
Say
I'm not going to sit here.
Say
and
it.
Let you disrespect Basho. One of the masters of all time.
Number one. Number one haikuist of all time.
All time. I'm not going to sit here and let you do it, Fred. I'm not going to do it.
I am shocked.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
That is uncalled for.
All right. Well, Vic, what did you take from the haiku today?
Well, he's obviously very serene, and he's looking out the window at his moonflowers in the garden. Those could be sunflowers, moonflower, beautiful flowers. He poked his drunk face out of the window. So he obviously had a couple of shots of sake.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, just enjoyed the natural scene outside his window. I found it a beautiful haiku.
Do you know if he took aspirin in the morning?
I don't think they had aspirin
back
in the
Fred,
day.
Why, Fred? Why?
Because
it was
probably
organic and natural, Fred. He didn't take any aspirin.
He has some green tea. There. Green tea, Fred.
He's probably
in the motherland,
hungover.
Fred.
The motherland?
He sipped some green tea.
Green
perhaps.
Tea. Some herbs. Maybe he had a little of the peace pipe, Fred.
He's smoking peace pipe?
Yes. From the herb, from the nature.
Exactly, Fred. He was just seeking serenity in a time when it was very rough. You know, imagine alone, a backpack, and you just, you know, traversing the countryside.
I think you did that.
That's true, I did. But not in such serene times. I faced a lot of turbulence.
What turbulence did you face?
Well, you want me to get started on some of the...
We don't need them all.
Adventures?
Just give us a couple good adventures.
I'll give you one adventure.
All right, good.
So, fellow travelers, you know, back in the day, there was no computers. It was, the communication was via, you know, the youth hostels and the notes that fellow travelers would put up to say, this is a good place to go, this is a bad place to go, this is a dangerous place to go. Don't go to the Khyber Pass. You might get killed. Bottom line is, I was basically in the Malaysia, Thailand area, and I heard that there was a place, Koh Samui, which was supposed to be a paradise. This is mid-70s. And myself and an Australian traveler said, we got to go. So we took about a 15-hour bus trip. We were over in the other part of Thailand. We went up to the east side of Thailand, from the west side of Thailand, to take a boat that would have taken us to this paradise. But on the way, there was some Malaysian insurgency. There was a communist insurgency on the border, and they stopped the bus, and a couple of soldiers came on, you know, with sabers rattling. And I'm in the back of the bus with my friend with, you know, with backpacks, the rest of, you know, locals, you know, with the chickens and the pigs. And they go to the back of the bus and they start harassing us and, you know, putting the butts of their rifles, you know, into our stomachs. And they said, where you going? I said, we're on our way. We're traveling through Thailand. And they said, you have a passport? I said, yeah, we have a passport. And we got lucky that they let us go. But that was an incident that could have gone either way. Could have gone south very quickly. But, you know, made it to paradise. But there's always going to be, you know, problems. There's no smooth journeys. And that was... No smooth journeys. But you got to keep going. You get knocked down seven times, Fred, you get up the eighth time. Just like the Dara Madal. Get knocked down that seventh time, you get up the eighth time.
It's lit. Fire! Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Well, look at it like this. If you get run down, you need to call the best attorney in the world. And that guy is Jacob Imrani. You give him
run
a
down.
Well, I'm just saying, if something happens and...
You get run down?
You get clipped.
Like run down with a car?
No, you could get run down by a dog. You could get donkey. Run down by a bike, a donkey. If you suffer any kind of injury... You got to call the best in the business. Jacob, I'm Ronnie. 844-24-JACOB.
Accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob.
Dodgers did make a couple of moves earlier today, trading Dylan Floro and Adam Kolarik for a few prospects. They had a pretty deep bullpen, so I don't know how much it will affect them. You look at guys like Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin, who were leaned on to start at times last season, probably going to have a heavier workload in the bullpen, considering they just signed Trevor Bauer, and David Price is going to be back in the rotation as well.
Well, you know, the thing about the Dodgers is they traded two guys we know.
The name game.
Kolarik and Floro, and they get these prospects back in return. We really know nothing about them, and quite frankly, I'm not sure many people do, but they do. I think that's the key in this. Who are the young guys they get back to put into the system? Because when they acquire people from other clubs, they have plans for them. You know, they may see something in a guy that the team they're with right now does not. So, yeah, right now they're prospects. Who knows? In 3 years, you might be seeing them at Dodger Stadium, Rodney.
Maybe. But don't you know what these two guys you have can do already?
Yes.
I mean, they're kind of good with that as well, as knowing what they have and not giving it away. So I guess it has to be something that they really saw for the future, because both those guys, Floro and Kolarik, were good in moments for the Dodgers. And it was just interesting that it wasn't for people that we actually know.
This is the way of Friedman. He's been doing this for 6 years. This is what he does, man. He picks up guys we've never heard of, and a couple of years later, you know, they're slugging 35 homers at Dodger Stadium. Hello, Max Muncy. Hello, Chris Taylor. This is what Friedman does. You know, he deals with the Oakland A's a lot. You notice that. So that's farm system. Or he's very familiar, you know, with all the clubs, but he seems to deal a lot with Oakland. And now from Florida, he gets a couple guys. I'm bought in. I mean, the success is unbelievable. You look, you know, like you heard Ned Coletti, the success is unfathomable. Since Friedman, you know, began doing his thing. It's the way of Friedman.
Well, the Houston Texans made a move earlier today. No, they did not trade Deshaun Watson. As a matter of fact, their owner, Cal McNair, during an interview earlier today, said Deshaun is our quarterback. He's a Texan, and we expect him to remain a Texan. I'm leaving it at that. Someone who is no longer there is J.J. Watt, former three-time Defensive Player of the Year. Mutual parting, they call it, Rodney. Mutual agreement to let him go. There's already been a report from the four-letter network that he does not want to play with his brothers in Pittsburgh, which I find interesting. Rams, maybe, Fred?
Maybe. You know what? We don't live in Houston, so what's the difference? But I think it's sad. I mean, that whole thing has just crumbled.
Yeah.
He was the Texans.
Yeah.
And for them to have a mutual parting of the ways, that probably means I don't want to be here anymore. Okay, you can go. Deshaun Watson, we're not saying you can go. But you can go. I think it's sad, Rodney. I think he can still play.
He can still play. You know, the thing with him was obviously staying healthy, but certainly can still play. When he's healthy and plays a season, he's double-digit sacks and disrupting, and it's not always about the sack. Not saying he's... You know, Aaron Donald's took it to a different level, but J.J. Watt was a disruptor. And, yeah, for them to mutually part ways, we're talking about a guy before Deshaun Watson, even with Deshaun Watson there, talking about a guy that's the face of the franchise. What he did for that franchise, for that city, during tragic times, the money he raised for that city and that area, for them to say it's a mutual parting of the ways, boy, you know that's a franchise in turmoil, and now you understand DeAndre Hopkins and Sean Watson wanting to get out, and now the favorite son J.J. Watt. That's a problem. That's a problem, and I don't see how anybody really wants to go there. It'd be interesting to see where he lands, but I do get he doesn't want to go land with his brother. Although that would be kind of cool. I think he wants to not shine up on their parade that they already gone, especially TJ, who's made a name for himself already. He doesn't want to overshadow that, so he wants to go somewhere else. Boy, if he did end up with the Rams, man, they already, because they may lose some guys, so he may end up with the Rams. You talk about the number one defense by far. Boom.
Houston, you got muchos problemas.
Sí.
This is the three-time Defensive Player of the Year. Three-time Defensive Player of the Year. How many guys have earned that honor? Very rare. He's so dominant. He's a sack master. He's a, you know, major disruptor. Come to L.A., man. JJ, come to L.A. Need you at SoFi. Rams, Chargers, come on in. JJ Watt.
Well, speaking of the Chargers, someone who's leaving is Mike Pouncey. Missed most of last year, all of last year, with an injury. The Chargers, who had issues on the offensive line all season long, hoping to have him back. But he, along with his brother, earlier today announced that they're retiring from the NFL. Sad to see. Mike was a great player. One of our favorite interviews from the Chargers when he would come on, for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, some, and Rodney would know, Barry Sanders got out way too early. But injury concern there. You get hurt, you get banged up enough. Sometimes you have enough. What's interesting is how many guys go their entire life. They compete at a high level. They're pros. They get paid. But they don't want a title. Rodney, if you have competed on the major league level, on the professional level, and don't win a title, you're proud of what you accomplished, but does it seem like there's a void of some sort or no?
No. Not everybody's going to win a title. Sure, you would have loved to have won one, but you don't look at it like, oh, I'm not as good as someone else, or I don't deserve the recognition as someone else does. You know, not everybody can win one, but no, you know, you go and do it to win championships, but you don't always do that. So, but I think that, you know, you play a long career as they did. It's interesting that they're doing it together. Both of them big time quality guys that had tremendous careers. And you just got to wish them well. But no, there's always that wish that you want them, but there's not that crazy void like you can't live the rest of your life because you didn't win a title.
The Pounceys, man. The greatest twins in NFL history. Perennial All-Pros. Class, dignity, respect, everything. Everyone loved playing with them. Greatest twins, you guys, in NFL history? I believe they're twins.
Yes, they are twins. I don't know how many other twins there were in NFL history.
Exactly.
Then I'll put them as the greatest.
Well, yeah, the McCourty twins. I believe they were both together when they won the Super Bowl with the Patriots when they beat the Rams, but I'm not sure. At least one of them was there.
Okay, now where do you rank them, Vic?
I got the Pouncey's number one because they're perennial All-Pros.
Yep.
Love the Pouncey's.
Yes.
Okay. That's what's lining up the headlines.
Kevin's been great.
Where's Aunt Bessie? Get him ready. Rob Parker's here next.
Let us give you money. Your chance to win $1,000 is right now. Yeah. Text the nationwide keyword WIN to 200-200. You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. Once again, that's WIN to 200-200. Good luck.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Thanks for joining us on your ride.
Thank you very much, yes.
Speaking of which, traffic. Ow! Bringing you LA's best sports talk weekdays, noon to 3.
Rogan and Rodney.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
Oh, yeah. We all know what that means. Yes, our man. Yeah. Freddie, we all know what that means, right?
Yeah,
we know who's here. Oh. We know who's here.
Well, he's already been here today. Now he's back. You know, you know why? Because he won't leave. That's who he is.
You know I won't leave. Is there another job? Can I work before, after we do this hit? Is there some other station I could go on today?
Before you go on and do your own show?
Yes. Yes.
Rob Parker joins us. Nice job this morning on Colin's show. You and Chris were great.
Well, thank you, Fred. It was a lot of fun. And now, of course, Rodney was going to get on my case and text at the end of the show. And that was the reason Chris goes, I made him silent because I was busy reading Rodney's text. and I couldn't respond to him. Thanks, Rodney. Thanks a lot.
I'm sorry, man. I'm hearing you two go at it. I love it. I love it. It was great. And yeah, Chris was giving it to you. He was giving you the business, Rob. You went silent for a minute. You went silent when he threw the Barry Bonds thing in there.
Man, I was like, what? Well, wait a minute. He didn't get suspended. I know. It was a mess.
All right.
You still hating on Tom Brady, though.
Well, yeah, he does.
Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
How long do I have in my career? 10 more years? Okay.
all right, Rob. So Anthony Davis, of course, is struggling with the Achilles, a little tendonitis. And there's really some concern about, you know, when do you bring him back? Rodney talked about it in the first hour, what that does, and an Achilles injury. And you can never really predict it, even if you're feeling better. But do you have a conspiracy theory on this?
No, it's not with the injury, because I don't think anybody, you know, no one should ever tell somebody whether they're hurt or how hurt. You know, Rodney, especially, I just never prescribe to that. You can't tell somebody who's how much they hurt. I can remember being in New York and Daryl Strawberry couldn't play in a playoff game, and people thought, oh, you know, he's just doing this, or like, you know, made up all these things. The guy had back surgery in the offseason. You know what I mean? So you can't do that. So I'm not saying the injury aspect, but I just wondered about his start and just how he started the season, kind of underwhelming, understated. And I just wondered, is there some, you know, like LeBron wants to win another MVP. When you have two big studs and stars on the team, it's hard to win an MVP. Ask Kobe, ask Shaq, because they usually cancel each other out. I thought, and I got to be honest, I was disappointed in his start, AD, because I thought once he won a championship, right, the monkey's off your back, you could just go out and play and dominate and do whatever. And there, you know, you've won. And we didn't get that this year. I thought that was strange.
Do you think, Rob, that the slow start, because even before the season started, we all were ready, even Fred, who lives in the red when it comes to panic, were willing to give the Lakers and the Heat for the most part a pass because they went all the way to the finals. It was a grueling bubble and then a quick turnaround. Do you think that this is becoming more evident, or your theory is enhanced, because we're seeing a non-human in LeBron James have an incredible start.
Thank you.
Just not feeling any signs of slowing down or weakness or being tired
playing
or any of that.
40 minutes, three games in a row.
So
exactly,
that's making
Rodney.
It look worse for Anthony Davis.
Bingo. So I'm not like crazy, right? I'm not Meshuggah to Fred. I'm telling you, because it hasn't affected LeBron, so Anthony Davis is way younger. He should have come out the gate ready to go. LeBron's in the lead for MVP at this point, right? Right now. So why was Anthony Davis's play down when LeBron, who's older, has way more miles on his car, and he's playing great? So I just that's my conspiracy theory, that maybe he just wanted to take his foot off the gas a little bit to give LeBron a shot at winning a championship.
Okay.
I mean, winning an MVP.
I think that's valid. I don't buy it, to be honest with you. I do not buy that he took his foot off the gas so LeBron could win, because LeBron can win an MVP. And I get the argument, Rob.
Well, LeBron didn't win last year. He had a really good year, and AD led the Lakers in every category except assist.
Yeah, but
and LeBron got trounced.
Yeah, but didn't you make the point last year that when it came down to it, Giannis's numbers were simply better?
No, they were. There's no doubt about it. But LeBron really thought he was closer in the mix, and he wasn't.
And I also think, and you know, it's all human beings making decisions. I think a majority of people, although they didn't vote that way, could understand LeBron certainly being in the conversation and having a legitimate shot last year. And if his numbers were the same as last year and the Lakers play the way they are, he's going to win it this year. Right now, is there anybody in the league that you would say would be the MVP over LeBron?
I think he's in the lead. And then when you look at some of the other players, like people brought up Steph Curry. Steph Curry's not winning an MVP.
No.
He's having a hot streak and he's playing well, but he's not winning an MVP with the team that's
borderline.
Projected to win 37 games. Is that what it's something like that? You know what I mean? So he's not going to. He's not playing in any meaningful games. So that's not going to happen. And then the three-headed monster in Brooklyn, that's not going to happen because they X out each other. The only other guy right now, I would say, between LeBron and Embiid in Philadelphia. Philadelphia's playing great, and Embiid's having an unbelievable season. I think those are the two guys right here, right now, in the lead for MVP.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But I disagree with the thing with Anthony Davis. I think that he has had his share of injuries over his career and that he's a different animal. I think we can't compare players to LeBron because LeBron's on a whole different level than everybody else in terms of his body being in shape, everything he's about. He's not slowing down. So it's hard to compare anybody to him, Rob.
I get that, but Anthony Davis should have come out the gate better and not be as down. I mean, he was having, if you look at some of his numbers, they just weren't as where they should be, and I thought that there was something that didn't make sense to me. It's just a conspiracy theory. I don't have any proof.
All right.
Thank you. As usual.
There you go. There's your conspiracy music.
I like it.
Rob, something, Rodney, we haven't touched on, but I know it was big nationally. I'm sure you and Chris have touched on this on The Odd Couple, which, by the way, you can hear on Fox Sports Radio. Download the iHeartRadio app. It's 4 to 7 in the West, and if you're listening to us on the East Coast on the app, it's 7 to 10. Rob and Chris Broussard. Urban Meyer's decision to hire Chris Doyle as his strength and conditioning coach down with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, Doyle comes with some baggage.
Big time. Fred and Rodney, I'm surprised by this hire by Urban Meyer. When you think about where the country is, what we've been through, and this is not, I mean, college kids at Iowa came out in an independent investigation about, racist language and racism and bullying for, and the idea that Urban Meyer would go out and still make this hire and fall on his sword for a guy who comes with so much controversy. I'm really surprised by it. I can't believe that it went through. And once again, it looks like to me, this is the good old boy network. This is a friend of his. Urban Meyer had the same situation at Ohio State where one of his assistant coaches, right, was accused of domestic violence, and Urban Meyer's wife knew about it, but he claimed he didn't know. I mean, I just don't understand. And Rodney, how can this affect a football team when you bring in a guy with such a checkered past? And you know, football, 70% of the players are black.
Yeah, it's really strange for me. This is a guy that, you know, comes and Urban Meyer just himself comes with controversy, right? And the hiring of him and you know, his track record at Florida and at Ohio State.
Right.
All those things. And then for him, it's not like this strength coach from Iowa, Doyle, was, you know, just accused by a couple of players. They had a full-on investigation.
Big time.
On the guy. And he was fired. And so to bring him in after a year where the NFL's got in racism in the end zones.
Yes, and Black Lives Matter and everything.
It just is you question, you know, what is he thinking, I guess is the big question. What are you thinking? He may be a friend of yours, but sometimes, you know, that's not doing the right thing. And then if you're the players on that team, what are you thinking? You know, you got your new coach coming in here, and he's bringing in a guy that it was under investigation for racism and bullying.
It's hard to understand. And Fred, people deserve second chances. This is not what we're talking about. This just doesn't seem to be the right spot and the right time. And are you surprised that Urban Meyer would fall on the sword for Chris Doyle? I mean, given the circumstances of this case.
A little bit surprised, but you know, there are two things. And perhaps the biggest one is this, Rob. I'm in charge. I'm the man. I'll make the decisions. And I want this guy. And that's how we're going to go. And I was told I had all the authority and all the power, so I'm taking it. So that's it, everybody. Fall in line. To me, that's what it sounds like.
But, Rodney, if you're a player, though, if players reject this, See, this is a moment of truth. Yeah. Imagine if the players say, "Dude, we're not with this. We're not going to go along with it. We're not coming to training camp. Whatever it is, we're not doing this as long as this guy's here." And obviously, you got to band together. But if players did that, and Urban would have to, you know, change course or whatever, isn't he damaged somewhat? You know what I mean? That he had to back down because the players pushed back against his hire. I mean, this is like a tug of war for power.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, the issue, I guess, with Jacksonville is that they got rid of all their outspoken leaders down there. There's Jalen Ramsey's not, yep, you know, there anymore.
Leonard Fournette
is not there. You know, Calais Campbell's not there anymore. I mean, there's not the big voices there anymore. So who's the guy that's going to speak out and be that leader that says this is not okay? Because I guarantee you, if that would have been on some other teams, there would have been some big time voices come out already and said this is not okay.
It's shocking just with the temperature of the country. And it just seems too soon. This guy was let go with a $1.1 million buyout, so there was no punishment. And here's the other part. Before you can, have forgiveness and then have a second chance, you have to acknowledge that you've done something. And that's what he hasn't done. He's like, well, I didn't say any. Oh, I never said the N-word. That doesn't mean that just because you didn't use that term that you didn't hurt some people along the way. And Rodney and Fred, if I offend somebody and I didn't mean to, and you tell me, Rob, you offended me, I would apologize, right? Because I didn't mean to offend you. I wouldn't have to say, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never said this. No, if someone says you offended them, you apologize.
Well, I can guarantee you one thing, Rob. You did not offend us today.
No, not yet. Okay.
And you know what?
Then you know what? I failed. Another failing moment.
And we're going to call it before you take just your crack at it.
It's because you've been working since 2 a.m., Rob.
Yeah, I know.
We didn't go at you too hard. Yes.
All right, man. Have a great weekend, Rob. We appreciate you.
Always. Thanks, guys.
Kevin's ready. We're going to bust the break and give away the Westinghouse 50-inch TV.
I mean, that is just sad.
Sad sack of the day.
All right, here we go. Can't get out of here without the sad sack. Detroit Piston guard, Jeremy Grant.
Boy.
Well, listen, he earned it. 7-year vet, having a career year in Detroit. But he struggled mightily last night. 9 points, 4 of 17 from the field in the loss to Indiana. So your sad sack of the day, and a well-deserved honor, is Jeremy Grant of the Detroit Pistons. Paul in La Habra, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
And guess what? You're a winner. Congratulations.
Thank God I'm a winner. I was trying all week to get a TV.
Save the best for last, Paul.
You did it on the final day,
yeah,
Paul.
This is the best.
All right, you've got
it. I did. My twin boys broke my last two.
Oh, really?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they threw a remote control up in the fan, and the fan hit the remote control hit the fan and it busted my TV. Well, this is a dream come true, man. Thank you.
I mean, the problem is your twin boys are 22 years old, so you've got to work on that, Paul. You got to work on it.
I got to get them out of the house, man. They're only six, though, man. They don't mean no harm.
It's a Westinghouse 50-inch 4K TV. The Roku operating system provides viewers with thousands of apps, including the iHeartRadio app. Listen and watch exactly what you want, how you want, and when you want it. Get yours at your local Target, Best Buy, or online. Paul, you did it. Final TV we have to give away this week, and you're a winner. You have a great weekend.
Thank you. You made it better. Thank you very much.
All right.
Nice.
You know, Rodney, we're just the dream makers.
We are. That's what we do, Fred.
We're here for the people.
We love the people.
Yeah, we're a conduit to the people, Ronnie says. Ronnie, good job this week. Kevin, thank you. Rodney, have a great weekend, and we'll go get a Monday.
Right on. Currency chasing worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. What was a friend, now a ghost in the dark. Hard part about it, brother got smoked by a fiend. Trying to floss on him, blind to a broken man's dreams. A hard lesson, court cases keep them guessing. Plea bargain ain't an option now, so I'm stressing. Cost me more to be free than a life in the bin. Making money off of cuss words, writing again. Learn how to think ahead, so I fight with my pen. Late night, down sunset, like in the sin. What's the worst they can do to a player? Got me lost in hell to live and die in LA on bail. My people say, live and die in LA, the place to be.
should live and die that